Joining us on the program right now to comment on a case that I thought was really interesting. He is Deputy Chief of the Niagara Regional Police. Brett Flynn, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you, Tom?
I am well. This case came up the other day, and I thought it was interesting in, I'm not sure, I don't think it's unprecedented, but it's rare. And it is that charges were laid in connection to an opioid overdose case in St. Catharines that back in the summer, a man was unresponsive, appeared to be experiencing an overdose in the city of St. Catharines, never regained consciousness, was pronounced deceased in the hospital about a week later. On October 2nd, so on Sunday, 34-year-old Hamilton man was charged and arrested with trafficking a Schedule 1 substance contrary to the Canada or the Controlled Drugs and Substances Act, but also for manslaughter in the criminal code. So how rare or uncommon is it to charge someone with manslaughter to allegedly being a dealer or a trafficker?
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Tom. It's, I mean, in the overall scheme, it is rare. Probably important to note that this is the third time, though, in 2022 that we've actually laid the charge. It's not the first instance in Niagara, and certainly probably, I mean, it was probably really rare about 5-6 years ago, you know, when we started to see fentanyl and really see fentanyl take a hold of our province and really our country. But we started to see it happen in other jurisdictions across the province as well.
So what is leading to those charges? As you said, so 5 years ago, it's rare. This year, if this is the third time, what is leading to those charges?
Well, I guess, you know, like any criminal investigation, it's the circumstances, the individual circumstances, and sometimes the very unique circumstances that that surround a death investigation that gets us there. So, you know, there's really no one answer to that. It's, you know, all the talk, all the discussion that we've had around across our country around the idea of decriminalization, around decriminalization of simple possession, it's never really been part of the conversation that trafficking is okay. You know, that's still an issue that is a law enforcement agency that we need to deal with whenever we investigate what we believe is an opioid overdose.
So without reference to this case, then, could you explain, like, how do you build a case against the trafficker, against the dealer? Because often this is a cash economy. Often this is done secretly. So there must be a way to firmly connect the supply with who supplied it.
No, you're exactly right. And I mean, that can come in, you know, in myriad ways. You know, sometimes it's video evidence, sometimes it's witness statements, sometimes it's admission, sometimes it's, you know, previous incidents. And really what it comes down to sometimes it is about people knowing that the substance that they're giving or that they're selling has a very real and a very likely potential that it could kill somebody. And that in itself is a huge problem. That you know, you're trafficking in a substance that could lead to somebody else's death, or is likely to lead to somebody else's death. And I'm aware of incidents that have happened, not necessarily in Niagara, where people have been told and people have been warned. And people, I mean, we just look at it generally, and we look at the news reports that have occurred. Who doesn't know that fentanyl or carfentanil or some, you know, some derivative of those is potentially going to kill people in our community?
Well, and it's been interesting as well over the last couple of years. There are growing reports from maybe police organizations, but also service organizations, those who work with, you know, on the front lines of the opioid epidemic, that there is a particularly, I'll use the term, dirty batch, right? That they are issuing explicit warnings to opioid users to be extra cautious with what's going around. That is something new as well.
Yeah, you know, almost that public safety kind of message when we hear, you know, whether it's ourselves or our partners in EMS come across information and they seem to be linked and they seem to be related. You know, sometimes you need to try and get in front of it and let people know as best you can. What sadly sometimes happens is that that is actually an attraction for people to think that there's, you know, I don't know what you want to refer to it as, really good product or really potent product. And some, I don't know that it always has the desired effect in trying to keep people safe.
Can you tell me a little bit more, Deputy Flynn, about the Opioid Enforcement and Education Unit at the NRP? And is this something that other police forces would have as well?
Yeah, other police services would absolutely. I mean, depending on their size, it might be totally contained within a drug unit or working out of some other area. But we've had the unit around, you know, in its present state since about 2017. Really, as part of their mandate, it's investigating opioid deaths. But it's also, I mean, and it's right in its name, it's also about educating people and trying to do our best and work with our community partners, whether it's public health or some of the agencies that are out there supporting people to try and lower the risk, you know, the harm reduction pieces, the prevention, all of those other pieces, and trying to play our part, understanding that we're also about enforcement, you know, with the police service.
One of the things that is unfortunate over the last couple of years has been that as much as we're dealing with a public health situation and a pandemic, that the opioid crisis has not gone away. And in fact, in many ways, Deputy Flynn, has worsened in the last couple of years. And I imagine, you know, being on the front lines, your officers could, you know, probably see it every day how bad things have gotten.
Absolutely. You know, it's just some statistics that come both from Niagara and across our country. We know that in Niagara, we had 165 opioid-related deaths last year. You know, every year since 2016, when we had 40, that number has risen. So, you know, it's quadrupled in the place of 5 or 6 years. Across our country from 2016 to 2022, we've had about 31,000 opioid-related deaths, you know, in that same time span. And not that I'm trying to equate one to the other, but we've had about 4,200 victims across our country of homicide compared to 31,000 deaths from opioids.
When we look at the supply of fentanyl or carfentanil, and I know you're a police officer and your job is to enforce the law, but not necessarily to make the law. However, where do we need to start with this? Like, this is something that everyone outside of, you know, this world would be like, if we could just stop fentanyl, although there is a purpose to fentanyl. Fentanyl was introduced as a really effective, you know, drug for pain relief. Like, it has a purpose. You know, you talk to pharmacists and pain specialists, they're like, oh, yeah, no. Fentanyl has a purpose. But the fentanyl we're seeing in the drug supply is often sourced from overseas. It's not a shipment that falls off a truck somewhere. This is somebody making it illicitly and illegally somewhere. Where do we begin to stop this, Deputy Flynn?
Yeah, and you know, it's certainly not a Niagara Regional Police answer. It's a whole of, you know, it's everybody coming together. It's about really what we're seeing happening in Niagara, which we're seeing across our country. In Niagara, there's a group that's come together that includes, from a steering committee perspective, our chief of police. It's called OPEN, and it's the Opioid Prevention and Education Network of Niagara. You know, and it really does look at when we talk about the four pillars of the approach of four pillars when we talk about education and harm reduction and enforcement and education. So I think it's all of those things. You know, both the Canadian Association of Chiefs of Police and our provincial association, the Ontario Association, have come out with statements in the last couple of years. And, you know, as a police community, we recognize that substance use disorder is a public health issue. But we also recognize that, you know, with that and with the four pillars in mind, we have to have something there for people to support them. If prohibition isn't the answer, and if arresting for simple possession isn't the answer, well, there needs to be another answer, and it needs to be there when those things happen. You know, so I think to a great degree, it's really about building some of the other pillars so that if police take less of an enforcement response, when we're talking about people who use, that there's somebody there and some groups there that can support them and help, you know, help them deal with their issues. Because I think in the absence of that, we have a worse situation than we have today.
Deputy Brett Flynn, I appreciate your time as always. Thanks for joining the program, and we will talk again soon.
Thanks, Tom.
Brett Flynn is the Deputy Chief of the Niagara Regional Police.